for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday afternoon service of September the 2nd, 1994, of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Leroy is the speaker for the afternoon.
George Leroy is pastor of All People's Church in Toronto, Canada, and the Lord's doing great things there. And the Lord's doing great things wherever you are, if you're serving the Lord with all your heart. Brother George, God bless you as you minister the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Glenn. Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't you love him?
Amen.
Thank you to the sister who confirmed my message. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't tell you just what God is doing with me, because I don't know. He's shaking everything up but the kingdom within me. Praise His name. 19 years ago, through divine intervention, God wonderfully brought me into deliverance. Sovereign work of God. I had been anti-deliverance, and somehow God had worked. And I had gotten out of the church, per se, because I could not handle the tremendous problems that people had. And then God in His mercy, I was working in real estate, and every day I went to work, I came home sick, depressed. And then someone placed the book in my hand, it was Deliver Me From Evil by Don Bashan. And I took my wife to work one day, and I thought I would start to read the book, and the moment I opened the cover, there was a mighty rushing wind came into the car, and God did a wonderful work in my life. I was 204 or 5 pounds at that time, and as God began to work with me, I went from 204 to about 170. And God would speak to me as He awakened me in the morning at 4:30 or 5, and I'd get to pray. And as I knelt to pray, I would say, "Good morning, Father," and He would say, "Good morning, Son." And then I would be satisfied with a piece of toast or a cup of tea or whatever, and God would speak to me and say, "You have meat to eat that you know not of." And then through ministry and God working, suddenly one morning I awakened and knelt to pray and said, "Good morning, Father," and I heard nothing. And of course the enemy came to me and began to work on my mind and tell me that God had forsaken me. And it's taken me 19 years to walk back to the place that God gave me an experience. God knew I could not live on experience. And God knew that I had to base my experience in the Word of God. And so through all the trials and the testings and those things that have happened, and Glenn knows some of them, when my daughter and I was into deliverance, she left, moved out, all hell broke loose in her life, and things just went from bad to worse. But God, in the last few months, and I have been faithful, battling the enemy, preaching deliverance. Our church is built on Christ, and our women pray for people for deliverance. Our young people pray one for the other. our men in their prayer meetings pray for deliverance for people. But somewhere God has started to work again in my life. And when He spoke to me to come here to Lake Hamilton, God wanted me here many times, or Glenn wanted, and I wanted to be here. But every time something would come up, and God confined me. And just 2 weeks ago, God said, go to Lake Hamilton. And I'm here. And when I heard our brother minister this morning, I knew why I was here. Because it was a confirmation of some of the things that God has been showing me, and there's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Yes.
And rather than for me to get out on some limb that is going to get cut off by myself, I'd rather have it cut off with the brother that spoke this morning. So we'll both get out there on the limb. But I want to share with you, I believe God spoke to me a few weeks ago, and He spoke to my spirit and He said, behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet Him. And as I dwelled on it, the Lord spoke to me again and He said, there is still time to prepare. Preparation. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, and I'd like to share some truth with you. Truth that to me, you could possibly have heard of it and know it, and it works in your spirit, but to me it's alive. And so I'd like to share it with you. In 1 Corinthians 4, 8, Paul says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain or an indistinct sound, who shall prepare or make ready himself to the war, to the battle? Trumpet's been going out a long time, but it really hasn't been a distinct sound. Now the trumpets are being blown around the world, I believe, even though I don't know who they are that are ministering, such as our brother ministered this morning that I met the first time. But around the world, I believe that God has men that are rising up into this truth in the Spirit of God, and they are now trumpeting out,
yes.
Prepare, prepare. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 7, I therefore, he said, so run. Not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection or into slavery, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. As I studied the five wise and the five foolish virgins, I saw there those that are going to arrive only so far and be closed out of the kingdom. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that there will be not only born-again people, but the Pentecostal, people who have been baptized in the Holy Ghost who are now living on a past experience, and have never allowed the Holy Ghost to do what He wants to do in this temple that God has placed Himself in.
Oh, hallelujah.
And so as I looked at this and I began to understand what God meant, He began to open up the Scriptures to my spirit, to my heart, and I realized that, yes, there has to be a subjection.
Amen.
There has to be a coming under His Lordship. There has to be a coming under the authority of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Paul didn't want to become a castaway. He means here in the Greek, not standing the test. He didn't want to be rejected, because the day will come when the Lord is going to abandon some and embrace others. There shall be two in the field. One shall be embraced or taken, paralambano, which means brought into union, brought into one, brought into the union of the Spirit. The other shall be left or forsaken or abandoned. And my heart goes out to these people today who have really never understood or have been able to share the truth that you and I are sharing today and hearing what we heard this morning. We're going to be ejected from loss of future reward. And I think it's a serious business. And today I believe God wants me to share this with you, because we have people who are moving into the realm of sonship and understand in theory, and even sometimes it takes and grasps their heart. But when they get away from here, when they get away from all of the beautiful songs and the worshiping and the spirit and in truth, they have to face reality again. They have to face the cold, hard world that they live in and that they work in. They have to go back to their families where their children are maybe unsaved or rebellious or disobedient. And that's when reality comes. But if I can, I'd like to share some truth that if you will keep under your body, I will show to you from the Scripture that if you walk after the mind of the Spirit and not the mind of the flesh, because I will prove to you from the Scripture that the mind is all part of the soulish area. And whatever the soul dictates, it dictates to your body. And when this power that is in there, this house that God now has, the Lord's body that we are, He's going to spoil the goods in there. And those goods are found in our soul. A stronger has come now and he lives in our temple. And now this time that we're living in is the possession or the redemption or the winning of our soul. In order to keep spiritually fit, Paul is hard on his own body. He's hard on himself, or he's hard on his soul. When he says, I keep under, what he's really saying here, he says, I'm giving myself a black eye. I'm beating myself. I'm losing my life. I am denying myself. And if I lose my life and I pick up my cross daily and I deny myself and I keep under my body, then I'll move up and I'll win Christ. He already had Christ. He knew what born-again experience was. But he says, I want to win Christ, and he said, I want to apprehend that for which I've been apprehended for. And the only way I can be apprehended is to let God become ruler of this soul. To let God become ruler of our soul, then that will be ruling of the body. Sunday night in our service, we preached on Sunday morning. It was communion because I wanted to serve communion before I left to come to Lake Hamilton. And God allowed the service to go so that I didn't serve communion. One of my ladies in the church, God had spoken to her, and he said, serve the communion after the message. That morning there was no communion. Sunday night I preached again, and before I preached I said, I want to serve communion after I minister. So she came up and shared with me. What I want to show you is in Corinthians. And we'll go farther into the Scripture, but I want you to look with me, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We partake of communion, and as I have over the past 38 years as a pastor, I've thought about the sick in the churches. I've thought about the weak in the churches. I've thought about these people whom God has allowed to die, and I think are prematurely dying. And the Bible talks about it here in communion. Every time we serve communion, every time you and I partake of it, if we have not judged ourselves, then we're going to be judged.
Right.
We're going to drink ruin or damnation
yes.
to ourselves. And if you look at this Scripture, he says in verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Because let a man examine or prove or test himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This is the Lord's body. This is the Lord's body. We're not talking something corporate this afternoon. We're talking about individual members of a living organism, Christ being the head, and we are his body. And if we don't discern this body, if we don't allow God to work in this body and become Lord of this body, if we allow the resentments and the judgmental spirits and the critical spirits and the unforgiving spirits and the lust spirits and all the other things that go into getting free and deliverance, if these things are in our body, and this is the Lord's body, this is his temple, and we partake and share of communion. If we do not judge ourselves, God says he will judge us. He'll chasten us. In Luke 21:19, it says, in your patience or in your endurance, He says, possess ye, or you shall win your souls. You say, it's easy to throw your hands up. But when God met me the 19 years before, and I walked in this experience for a number of weeks and shared the truth and what God was doing, and were times where I prayed for someone and the Holy Ghost, I went into one of my elders' home and his wife was sick, and as I walked in, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, cast out the spirit of death. And when I bent over her, I could see she was dying, and her son was standing there, and I said, you call the emergency, I don't want your mother to die, and I'm here, you call them. And when I did, the Lord said, cast out the spirit of death. And so when I spoke to her, I said, where's the problem? I want you to renounce the problem. But the next voice said, if you have her renounce the spirit of death, she'll really think she's dying. And I knew that was the devil. And so I said, I want you to renounce the spirit of death. And when she started to renounce, suddenly a masculine voice spoke from her temple and said, I am going to kill her. I have tried twice in her life, and this time I'm going to succeed. And in the name of Jesus, I cast that spirit of death out, and just like that, everything changed.
Hallelujah.
And at that moment, they brought the stretcher in with the emergency crew, and she looked at me and she said, Pastor, I don't want to go to the hospital. And I said, you go. It checked out. When she went, she passed 3 or 4 kidney stones or whatever else happened, and inside of an hour, she was home. Great experiences. I had an experience where we got a lady out of an institution, a doctor's wife. We'd confined her in an institution because she spoke in tongues. And when I got the call that this lady, who was a millionairess, and her husband was afraid because she was coming to the church I was pastoring in Washington, D.C. area, that this lady, that she was going to give her money to the church. And he had, through a lot of friends and psychiatrists, had interviewed her at a little dinner they had, a get-together, signed the papers, her daughter-in-law signed the papers, and they incarcerated her, kidnapped her from D.C., took her into Towson, Maryland, and there confined her in an institution. I got the call. The moment I got the call, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, she's in there for religious convictions. Well, I had no proof. I had no evidence. And through all of those situations, I met James Watt, who was a personal friend of mine, and in 9 days, we had that lady out of the institution. Now, these are wonderful experiences. But reality strikes when you lose your daughter. Reality strikes when the devil comes against your family. Reality strikes when you lose your job. Reality strikes when God's people, whomever they might be, come against you. It's easy for the world to come against you. You expect that. But when somebody comes against you and begins to bring the hurt and all those things against your life, it's easy then. It's easy to say, hey, and allow the old part of your soul to rise up with the resentments and the bitternesses and the unforgiveness and all of these things and the critical spirits, and then forget that this body is the temple of God. And so he says it here, you'll gain mastery over your souls. Instead of giving way to adverse circumstances, which all of us are going to have. But remember, Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His showbread, or to be His showbread, or to be His purpose in His viewing us, that He wants to be well pleased. And so as the adverse circumstances come, it's our reaction to those circumstances that are either going to determine that God is Lord here, or the devil with his encompassing organized army around our soul is going to be cast out. Because you know and I know the moment you were born again, the Spirit of God, it says, witnessed to your spirit, and that dead spirit became alive. That's the new birth. And that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now that's wonderful. We have millions of God's people belonging to the family that live in this world who are born again. But you see, that doesn't stop there. He said you must be born again to perceive or see the kingdom. And you can't enter the kingdom unless it's through the Spirit and through the Word. And so we find out that there are many people stop and know Him as Savior. Others go on and see the kingdom, and they move into it in that Feast of Pentecost or the Pentecostal experience, and then they say, I've arrived. But you and I know there's a Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes, right.
You and I know that it's not Jesus Christ only, it's Jesus Christ as Lord.
Amen.
And He wants to take care of our spirit, so Jesus is there. And now, as you go on, you see the kingdom, and that becomes the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But He doesn't mention soul, because the soul is now being saved. The soul now, you and I, through the energizing power of His Spirit in this temple, to give to us the mind of the Spirit, is now cleansing our soul through deliverance, through the circumstances that bring up those spirits that we have no control over, that we know we have to be freed from in our life. And the other is the overcoming part, where when the circumstances are adverse or negative, that we trust and submit to God and allow the Holy Ghost in us to rise up and resist those adverse circumstances, so that our body still is God's temple and it still remains pure and holy. We need to look at the soul for a minute. The soul, that part of man that perceives, reflects, feels, desires, wills, purposes. Because man's a trichotomy, spirit, body, and soul. And God's working on the soul. And through the working of the soul, we have to receive the kingdom. He has to come in, because now the kingdom is the Holy Ghost that dwells in this temple. Let me give you a scripture. For the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in you. Luke 9:25 says this, For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and loses or destroys himself? But the next phrase is important, or be cast away. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. We sing lots of choruses about the Lord, but we have to ask ourselves, is He really Lord? Is He Lord of everything in our life? I can understand when He says, if you love father, mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. He's not talking about not being in the family. He's not talking that. When He says to those, have you not cast out devils? And they said, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? He says, depart from me, ye workers of unrighteousness, for I never knew you. The word knew is, I never knew you in a relationship where I was Lord. And I said, how come, Father, that they're casting out spirits and doing all these things? He said, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance.
Amen.
And so you have to, whatever God's doing in you, it's wonderful. Whatever God's doing in me is wonderful. But when I got up this morning and I was in the shower, I wasn't feeling the best. And I said, Lord, I need some rivers of life. And all of a sudden, I felt the power of a spirit begin to flow up out of my being and quicken this mortal body. I don't understand it all, but I know that as I submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I know that if I abide in Him, I know that if I walk in Him, that I have a rest that's to the people of God. And I have, by the grace of God, struggled or labored to come into this rest. And while you're in that rest, abiding in Him and living in Him, you'll have a struggle. Because everything is coming against you, and this is where the overcoming comes in. It's all there, and all the scriptures begin to blend together. What about God's people that do wrong? Where are they going to fit? Is everybody going to arrive in the kingdom? Well, you heard this morning they're not. I don't believe they are, but I want you to look at Colossians 3:25 with me. We can't get off with anything anymore. Can't get off with anything. God's going to reveal it. And notice what he says. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Judgment must first begin at the house of God. And because we have individuals who, we don't know their hearts, we don't know who they are, but God knows by the Spirit. And when we open ourselves up to God's Spirit, it is then that we see what God's trying to do within our lives. When you do wrong, you bring consequences to yourself, both in this life and at the judgment seat of Christ. When you suffer loss, it means that you're going to lose or you're going to penalize your own self with spiritual loss now and eternal loss later. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, verses 9 and 10, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be well-pleasing of him or accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know what the word appearing is? That when he appears, you're going to appear. But you're not just going to appear in person. You're going to appear in character. Think of that. Those things that are hidden shall be revealed. They'll be made public display. And if you don't pass the test, if you have not allowed the kingdom or the lordship or the Holy Ghost power to take over and rule your soul because you have submitted to his authority in his kingdom, because where the kingdom is, the king is there. And when he rules in your soul, if you do not allow that, then those things that we have, we wear as a facade or a veneer, that we think no one else sees or no one else knows about, the day will come when we will appear just as we are. And then the Bible says in Revelation and other scripture, we'll walk naked. And people will see our shame. And so he says it. For all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Doesn't mention spirit. Done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Well, what controls my body? My soul. And if I go, and Romans 8 talks about it, if you just want to turn it quickly, and I'll just go as I feel the scriptures are coming by the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And if we have God, if this is God's temple, and we have the Holy Ghost, his kingdom dwelling within us here, then, beloved, we have to allow the Spirit of God to manifest, because Jesus had the mind of God, or the mind of Christ. He says, you have the mind of Christ, and that's the Spirit of God, as he rules and controls this body, because it relates to the members of our body. And we do not allow, if we do not allow him to rule, and we mind the things of the flesh, then if you go down, to be fleshly minded in verse 6 is death. Well, we find that from Corinthians, where I read it. If you don't discern the Lord's body, if you don't judge yourself, if you don't examine yourself, then you partake with this veneer and a facade, and everybody thinks, hey, people can raise their hands, people can praise the Lord, but God's bringing a division, God's bringing a dividing line, God's bringing a discernment, and those that love God, and those that have come into the lordship of Jesus Christ, those that are allowing this tabernacle feast to take over, beloved, they're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And there's going to be a difference. By their fruit you shall know them. Because there'll be a meekness, there'll be a mildness, there'll be a gentleness that pours out of this kingdom. Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's not talking just to the unsaved. He's talking to God's people. Take my yoke.
the balancing beam, the Holy Ghost. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Yourself. You, the real you. When we are manifested, I have no idea what that's going to be like. But it's scary. And it keeps me checking up on myself. Lord, did I say it right? When I, 19 years ago, when God brings me back because God is giving me now the scriptures to blend in with that experience. And I remember one morning I got up and my father used to have an idiosyncrasy that if my mother was in the kitchen, he would take and pull her apron strings. If she had a hot pot or what she's cooking there, he'd pull her apron strings. He thought it was a big joke. And of course, it caused a little frustration and irritation on mother's part. She's got a roast in a pan and the apron drops. And of course, she tries to be nice. Or there are times at dinner table, my father would stir us tea. And if no one was looking, he'd put the spoon and stir us tea and then put it on your hand. So you'd jump. One morning after God brought me into this experience, my wife was in the kitchen, and I went to the fridge to get a cold jar and what it was. And I went and I touched her arm, and she jumped. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, don't do that. Because if your wife, if she's tired, he said, you could cause her to get angry and cause her to sin. I began to realize how sensitive His Holy Spirit is in this temple of mine here. That as I breathe out His name, and as I give someone a hug, that it's not just a hug, it's for real. So that when I hug somebody, that they can sense this is genuine. So many times we hug somebody, cut their heart out. Hug somebody and put a knife in their back. But that's not the love of God.
No.
And through the Spirit of God tempering and working in our soul, cutting loose all of that flesh, that spiritual circumcision that comes to the soul, cutting it away. And this is what He did. He said, Abraham, he had faith for righteousness, but he had it before he was circumcised. And in Romans 4, you see it where Abraham, he wasn't circumcised. He had faith. He moved in God. He believed in God. And then God put the seal on him. God put that fleshly circumcision in his body to say, this is my man. And God has given us the Holy Ghost as the earnest, as the seal. And with the Holy Ghost, He is circumcising our soul.
Yes.
He has control of the body. He has control of this spirit, but now He wants the soul to be under His control so that we do not yield our members to unrighteousness. And it's so easy to take our tongue or take our hands or do whatever we feel, whatever we say, take our voice and say things to one another or say things to our wife or say things to our husband, and all the time grieving God's Spirit who lives in this temple, not discerning that this is the Lord's body. This is His body. In Ephesians 6, God wants us to put on the whole armor. But I'll just briefly, because I can't go into it all. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Doesn't say Jesus. Doesn't say Christ. He says Lord. He wants to be Lord. And in the power of His might, the Holy Ghost in here, this kingdom that God's, we've received our kingdom. When Jesus Christ went to the Mount of Transfiguration, took Peter, James, and John, and He said to them, you'll see me come into my kingdom. And He was transfigured. He was still in a flesh body. And so they saw Him come. What had happened was inside of Him, the Holy Ghost glorified and came forth, and He was covered with the anointing. Here we find that the Holy Ghost is in this temple. And He says here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
This message, kingdom message, is a message the devil hates. He had one Lord. He had one son. He doesn't want any trouble with any more sons made in the image of the one that he had trouble with. So he figured, I'll knock him off. I'll get rid of him. I'll get rid of him. But Jesus gave him his life because he knew that once he died and that seed fell into the ground and died, and he arose, and then he sent the promise of the Father that that Spirit would come into this temple and begin to conform us through a metamorphosis within to come forth in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the devil doesn't want that. And so he uses our families. He uses the cares of the world. He'll use all of these things that cause us anxiety in our soul, that creates it in our mind. He'll cause us imaginations, and these things we can give you the scripture for, where we find out that the soul begins to work with all of these adverse circumstances if God's not Lord. You say, well, what do? You put it down. You begin to possess it. You say, hey, God's in control here. Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. God's in control here. This is his temple. And all the circumstances, all of these adverse things, the negative things that look like they're so bad, that God will take care of those things. And then suddenly, you have a rest. You have a rest. Why do people get... Let me just say this. I want to say it so I don't offend anybody. People eat... Many people eat under stress. Christian people. Why? Because their soul is now upset. Their soul has become disquieted through whatever the problems might be, whatever the negative circumstances, whatever they are. And suddenly, to kind of counteract that, they'll go to the fridge. Somebody else will do something else. They'll get out and they have to spend. I think it was Tammy Baker she wanted to spend. No, she had to spend. When she got under pressure, she felt better. She got into a shopping mall, and if she could buy things and bring them with her, she wore them or not, she felt better. I'm telling you, God can slim you down if he controls your soul. We have the natural means of dieting. There's not a diet that works. The problem lies inside. The problem lies inside that affects our body. And then the members, because then we're shoveling it in, and before you know it, we have real problems on our hands. Because what we are doing, we are disobeying what God wants to do, and we are drinking and eating damnation to our own body. He says here, for though we walk, and I want you to look at it, please, Ephesians 6:12. Let's look what it says just a moment here. Put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. So these are wiles, devices, whatever, they all have to do with you, your circumstances, those with whom you relate to, your job, all the natural things, because we live in a natural world. And so these things are the things the devil uses to come against you. If you don't believe me, talk to Dr. Job. He'll tell you all about it. And he'll tell you that, hey, he lost his family. When we lose our family, I've buried a lot of Christian people. Why, you would think they had no hope whatsoever. I'm not saying you don't have sorrow, but beloved, you love him. You know where they are. It's not that you don't have any hope, but I have seen people emotionally upset for weeks and months, and it affects their whole system because the devil is now working on their soul. And so he says here, put on the whole armor of God. Now go down, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, they can be up there, but there's a lot in here. And he says, wherefore take unto you again the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Now notice what he says. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Well, that's what we're getting here. That's what we got this morning. Because it says, I think it's in 1 Peter, about the girding up the loins of your mind. If you just turn, I'm not sure which one it is, but it's in 1 Peter. And if you can find it, you can read it. It says about girding up the loins of your mind. All right, you can only gird the loins of your mind up if you have the truth. And if you have the truth, and that's into the kingdom message, sonship, tabernacles, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. All of this is truth, and then you begin to understand, hey, all the things that are happening to me, this is in God's plan. He's redeeming my soul. He's saving my soul. And that when He comes, I'll be presented blameless, spirit, soul, and body. And so whatever God permits to come against me, whatever God allows in negative circumstances, hey, they're not negative, they're positive. Because all the negative is for the positive working within my body that it's energized by the Holy Ghost who lives in this temple.
Amen.
And so what He says here, your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. They were already had righteousness. So what's this breastplate? What's this breastplate? Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Or 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of what? Faith. And love. Love, agape love. When Jesus spoke to Peter, He said, Peter, lovest thou me? And He was talking agape, and Philip, and Peter answered in phileo type. And so He had to ask him again, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter said, you know I love you, Lord, and phileo, I love you. Friendship, relationship, Lord. And when it was finished, the Lord brought it down now to the same level Peter was on. But those days are over. God's bringing us up into agape love. Because the agape love comes from the Holy Ghost that sheds it abroad in our heart. And He's in this temple. And He wants the agape love to flow out of this temple. And so He says, put on the breastplate of faith. That's faith that God's power is sufficient in my life, in this temple, to help me live and walk above sin. Above sin? Yes, above sin.
Yes.
We make allowances. We make excuses. Well, I got that from my grandfather. I got that from my dad. I got that from my grandmother. You know, that was, hey, no more excuses. The day of excuses is over. Now it's cleaning up time. Now it's preparation time. Yes. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. I'm going to meet him. I'm going out in the Spirit already. I'm walking in the Spirit, because one place I'm going to come in the Spirit is to meet Him, and we're going to come together in union.
Yes.
Going to come together in union. And so you put on this breastplate of faith and love, and there's much more I could add to it, but I don't have that kind of time. Of righteousness. Now notice what He says. And your feet shod. Your walk. We heard this morning about the feet ministry. You know when they washed. Jesus washed the feet of Peter, and He said, you don't know what you're doing now. You don't know what I'm doing now, but you'll understand later. Well, I understood what you're doing, Lord. You're washing somebody's feet. And so we have churches that split and have foot washing services. That's not what God's talking about. It's the cleansing, the preparation, the deliverance of washing and bringing deliverance to one another's walk in the things of God through the power of the Spirit. It's confessing our side lapses and our sins one to another and praying one for another that you may be delivered and healed and brought into the realm of the Spirit of God. This is what it's about. And He says it here. He says, put on your feet shod, and the preparation has nothing to do with seminary. It's an intrinsic working of God. This is what it is. It's a preparation of this gospel of peace, because it is peace. When I have my soul under control of the Holy Ghost and He becomes Lord of this body, I'll have peace. I'll have the peace of God. Lots of Christians have peace with God. But they have no idea what the peace of God is. We hear frustration. We hear people, oh, I'm frustrated. Oh, I'm upset. Why? If He's Lord, what do you have to be frustrated over? What do you have to be upset about? Be anxious for nothing, no thing, but in everything. Everything. Yes, I was sick for 4 years. 4 years. In emergency, with a Ventolin machine on my face, shooting cortisone. I had an IV in my arm, putting cortisone in my blood, having tablets to take that the doctor says, if you take them for 5 years, I can't promise you won't get stomach cancer. And then just this year, February or March, I was in court with a lady because we had to go to court to help her out, and sitting outside, and the court had, we'd had this case for 2 years and it kept being remanded, and I was going through living hell, but I'd go down there and I was sitting talking with her, and she shared something with me, and I said, I want to try it. And I found a natural vitamin that took care completely of my problem. Take any, I don't take that anymore. All because God did a healing in a natural way and then began to open truth. And I began to realize, Lord, something's wrong here in my soul. My soul. You'd be surprised how deep God goes. You think that things that affected you are past, but the hurts are there. There are people here today that if God by His Spirit confirms what I'm saying, can get deliverance from hurt. Deep hurts that have been covered over, calloused over, and yet they're always there.
Yes.
And they work against the members of your body because your soul begins to activate these things in your life. Now notice, in 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, I only know of one shield, and that's the Lord Jesus. He becomes my shield of faith. Because He is the shield of faith. Because He brought, it says, before faith was revealed. Well, He was faith revealed. That says it in Galatians. So He becomes my door. He becomes my shield. And I go in through the door because the word shield brings outdoor in the Greek. And I go into Him. And there I live with His anointing around me and in me. So notice what He says here. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. When your kids speak to you and rebel, when your wife or husband or whomever, whatever takes place, when it comes against you, it has to go through him before it can touch you. And so as you move in, and abide in Him as you are in Christed, or you're in Christ. It's one thing to have Christ in you, but it's another thing to be in His Spirit.
Yes.
It's another thing to walk in His Spirit. It's another thing to be continually filled with His Spirit. What I have today is not going to suffice for tomorrow. I have to get up and say, my Father, I need you now. I need you to cover me now. I need to have your Spirit leading and guiding and moving me, because He says the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And it's so all of the pull and the tear and all the things of the system that come against you and pull you to try to distract you, you have to find your place. And there you have to stand like Abraham. Because if you take anything less, you'll be in Zoar, a lesser place where they found Lot. Abraham, I don't know where he was, but he stood in God. And all he could see was the judgment. Zoar was a lesser place, and that's where Lot ended up. And so we find here, take the helmet of salvation. Well, what in the world? These people were saved. Let's go back for a minute to 2 Thessalonians, or 1 Thessalonians 5. And for an helmet, in verse 8, the hope of salvation. What hope do you have? Christ in me, the hope of glory in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory in me. And Paul the Apostle said that your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling. There's a mystery working. The mystery of godliness is working now within this temple. And one day, when we pass the test, when He comes, when this parousia comes, when we are caught into His grace and into His oneness, we are going to be manifested and we're going to be glorified. That's my hope, that I'll rule and reign with Him. That I'll be part of the headship, because in Revelation there were crowns around His head. And I believe He has His people who are going to rule and reign, as we heard this morning. But we have to pass the test. And so it's this hope that I have. And if I have this hope within me, He says, you'll purify yourself. Well, what am I to purify? My soul.
I'm to cleanse my soul. I'm to allow Him to purge my soul. And what's happening here in all these years that Glenn and Irma have had this place, people have been coming and they've been a cleansing of their soul. Those things that they couldn't cope with, those things they couldn't overcome, those things that got in the way and destroying their temple. And you know it's true. Their minds were confused with all the voices that came. They really never felt anything because there were things buried in there that God had to free them from. And then when they were afraid, they say, "My, I've lost weight." Sure you did. You lost some of the devil's power and your mind became free and clear. But it's a continuing process, and so God uses all of those things in life, good or bad, to come against you. He drops the hedge. He said, "Devil, hey," God uses the devil. The devil was so stupid, he didn't even know who Job was. He should have known that Job was God's man. But he was so stupid, he didn't know that. And God said, "Well," the Lord said, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job?" "Thanks, God. You know, I don't need you picking on me. Have you considered my servant Job?" I imagine Job after a while said, "Lord, it would have been better if you hadn't said a word. Better you hadn't pointed me out, Lord. I was doing fine. I had a good family. I had money. I was wealthy. My body was healthy. My wife was happy. Now I don't have anything. Thanks a lot." Hey. And then we rebelled. No, Job did not sin with his mouth. "Naked I came out of the womb, and naked I'll return," he says. I just naked, he said, "I have nothing." He didn't sin with his mouth. But when you and I get into a crisis, or we have crises that are beyond our control, rather than submit to the kingdom, rather than submit to the word, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father, rather than submit this way to God, we rebel, we resist, we say, "Why? Hey, it's none of your business why. It's none of my business why. If He's Lord, He'll run the kingdom in this temple, and He'll run this body way He pleases, whether I like it or not." And if we resist it and we rebel against it, then He says, "Hey, this is my temple. It's the Lord's body. You're not discerning it properly. And if you don't examine yourself and judge yourself, I'll cut you off." And that's the truth, because many people are dying. Many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Because they're not in control of their soul. They've allowed the adverse circumstances to move them out of the things of God and grieve the Holy Ghost and grieve the Holy Ghost and grieve the Holy Ghost. And we have people that speak in tongues and as tinkling brass and sounding cymbals. No life. No life. The helmet of salvation is your hope. The sword of the Spirit. Oh, this is the sword. It's the sword of the Spirit. Not the sword. It's the Spirit that takes the sword.
Yes.
And He breathes it into the innermost part of your being. And when He breathes that harema into your spirit, it changes your whole life. It's one thing to have theory. It's another thing to have life.
Yes.
And the sword of the Spirit, He says, and then praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The other day I was driving, it was a busy day, and I was driving and I was singing, "Burn on, burn on, burn on, oh fire of God, burn on." And then I started with, "Christ in my vessel, I'll smile at the storm." And I'm singing, I'm enjoying, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, "You're singing psalms and hymns and melody in your heart unto me." And I was singing in the Spirit. I go from the English to the language that God gave me. And I was enjoying it. I had a regular camp meeting. Then somebody cut me off. Now what am I going to do? Stay in the Spirit? Huh? You ever go to the store, down to the pumps? And if it's a long weekend or whatever, man, you pull up at the pumps and they've jacked it up to $3 a gallon. We're paying 61.5 a liter at times, or sometimes a 65 a liter. And you pull up to the pump and you look at it and then you go, "Oh, shalababakaradichipra." The bill, $30, and you're just singing tongues. Singing tongues. Go into the grocery store. Hey, we've got a multicultural, ethnic population in Toronto.
And so when you go and the prices have been doubled overnight, you stand there and you speak in tongues. That's all you do, speak in tongues. Somebody standing beside, oh, they'll hear me. Well, they don't know whether you're Italian, Chinese. They have no idea. You just go ahead and pray in the Spirit. You'll find that it gives you rest in your spirit, in your soul. It'll give you rest. Because if you don't, all these little cares of the world, all the anxieties that Martha had, you know, careful about many things, disrupts the rest and the peace that God wants to give to you in your soul. I'm telling you, this is a secret. It's not hard. Oh, you say, Pastor, you don't understand. I can't. It's hard. No, it's not. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Work out your own salvation. How do you do it? By submitting to the Holy Ghost and say, Lord, I can't do it. You take over. And God says, I've been trying for 30 years. 30 years! Some are 50 years. You know, some people, I've heard testimonies, and when I was early Pentecostal kid, I'm just hanging on, Lord. Oh, I'm just hanging on. I hope I make it in a rapture. Ah, I'm just hanging on. Never going to sell me. Man, I was better off when I hear those people, hey, I don't have many problems with them, and I'm not even a Christian. Where's the joy? Where's the joy? People come, you get a healing crusade. 90% are Christian people going up for healing. Why? Or when something happens, they think joy is when somebody lays hands and they go down to power, or somebody says laughing, and that thing's going around and there's barking now coming in. That's joy. That's not joy. The real joy is down here. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's the life of God that brings joy against all the storms, all the circumstances, all the stress that's out there. Hey, you walk through it and you say, hey, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God's with us. In the power of His Spirit in His temple, and all He wants now from His people is a cleaning up process of our soul. Because that's our own self.
I don't know how long I got, man. Hebrews 4:12, I'll have to close with this, I guess.
For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul. Now it says and spirit, but it also can mean and or also or even. So let's change the word and, but also or even. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, even spirit. Where's the spirit? Where do the spirits have war against? My soul. My soul. And the Word of God gets down to where we live. There's an investigation going on by the Holy Ghost in this temple. And as He's roaming around in there, He sees my soul and He says, hey, I see something there that I don't want. I'm trying to renovate this building. That desk has got to go. And so what does He do? He brings a situation along. Isn't it amazing how things all happen? And people, you see, people move from church to church and they say, well, I can't stand sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. I'm going down here, and they get down there, and now they got two brothers so-and-so. That's right. They think this has to do with the people. No, it's in here God's trying to deal. And He's using brother or sister to bring it up.
Hallelujah.
So that you can get rid of it, not run from place to place. And so the devil splits the body, splits the churches, and people who are split from churches and go out. Brother, sister, they just take the resentments and the bitternesses and the hate with them. Now, notice what he says. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul, even also and spirit, and of the joints. That's the inward moral and spiritual being of man, and is a discerner of the inward reasonings or the inward intentions that are evil there. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Well, if He's in there, there'll be a lot of things manifest. Because the devil doesn't want Him there. But there's a stronger now. The stronger, Satan was destroyed. Satan was pinned down. He was pinned to the canvas. And as the wrestler, Jesus Christ, pinned him down, he cried out in iambus, "It is finished. It is finished." And he pinned the devil down. And then he said, "I'll send my spirit into the house that he had, and I'll destroy his goods. I'll cast out every demon that's there. I'll bring these bodies back to what they should be. I'll bring the spirit and the body and the soul back to where I am in control, and they'll live and walk in me, and I'll live and walk in them."
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. They're naked, and they're open under the eyes of him with whom we have to deal. Well, I got lots more. But beloved, it's a secret discipline. Get your deliverance. You need it. I needed it. When I was sharing with the brethren, and I was pastoring the Washington, D.C. area, and Jim and Leilani Watt were coming, and she was my children's church worker, and he was my Sunday school superintendent, and we had great fellowship. And then one day they went to some fanatic called Derek Prince. And Leilani got deliverance. Came back, and Jim, being a lawyer, said, "Pastor, I'm going to change your theology." I said, "No, you're not." So we battled over the scriptures for a long time, and finally she agreed with her pastor. Maybe it was psychological. Well, I left and went to Canada, became an associate with a spirit-filled Presbyterian. Leilani went back into bondage. But God, in his mercy, divine intervention, brought me into the experience of deliverance. They were the first I called. So I flew to Denver, and he was running a legal foundation there before he became Secretary of the Interior. And there, we shared fellowship, and I prayed for his son, and I prayed for his daughter, and we shared what God could do. Beloved, all I know is that whatever God's doing with you or with me, you've got to win your soul now. Because your body does what your soul dictates, and all that devilish evil power that's helping to cause your members to be yielded to unrighteousness. God wants us free. God wants us to have a pure soul. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake thou that sleepest and rise up and say, "Hey, God through the Holy Spirit is here. I'm not going to let anything trouble me." I listened. You see, I flew in and there were some people on the bus. And they had come to the airport and we were waiting to get on this shuttle and there was no luggage for them. No luggage. So they didn't know who I was. So I sat there and I listened to the husband and the wife, and there was nothing too much negative. It just that they happened, and I heard the husband say, "Well, I expected it. We were late getting there. We were 3 hours late getting because Dallas was tied up or something, and they had come in from California." And he said, "I just expected. We got to the plane, but I knew our luggage wasn't going to be here, and we got it into Little Rock." So he came in on the shuttle, and I talked to him, and he smiled. He had control of his soul. His wife could have gotten all upset and pulled her hair out and screamed and gotten fanatical and had a headache and got a migraine and all this stuff. They were very quiet. Said, "Well, he'll possibly get it to us 2 a.m. or the next day." How do you react? What are your attitudinal responses to the crises that come in your life? You can discipline yourself. You can know where you are in God, and you can know just how much the Holy Ghost has a hold of you. Here is the time to get free of some of those problems that maybe have affected you. Would you bow your heart with me? Father, you know I love you. You know the people of God that are here love you. You know, Father, that we're all looking to grow and develop and go from glory to glory and being changed into your image even as by the Spirit of the Lord, that we want this metamorphosis of Christ in us
to take over. And Lord, we know that there are those that are here that maybe have problems materially that are troubling them, giving them turmoil of their soul. Maybe their loved ones are not saved. Maybe their children have left home. Maybe the rebellion has set in. Maybe things have been said that have caused such deep hurt. And they're troubled today. But Father, we know that Your Spirit is greater in us than any problem or circumstance. And so, Lord, You see these that sit in Your presence. And Father, I feel so impressed that, Lord, we can just lift our hurts, that Your Spirit can bring to us any deep hurt that maybe, Father, something has been done and we've buried it. And Lord, You can heal that broken heart. You can set the captive free in that area. And Lord, maybe that's causing a physical problem in the body. And Lord, You want to give us divine health. And You've said, Beloved, I wish above all things that Thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as Your soul prospers. And so today we're asking You, Father, as we bow in Your presence, and as we ask for the investigation of the Holy Ghost, investigate our soul, investigate our heart, investigate the inner part of us that feels the hurt. And right now, Father, together we'll renounce that spirit of hurt, that spirit of a broken heart, and ask You to set us free. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I want you just to raise your hands to God, and I want you to start to renounce. And if the Holy Ghost brings to you something that's hurt you, and you feel tears coming, I want you to release it. I want you to say, Lord, I want to be free of that hurt. In the name of Jesus Christ now, Lord, we take authority over the principalities and powers. We take authority over the demons of darkness, over the spirit of hurt, over the spirit of rejection. Lord, over the spirit of self-rejection, over the spirit of fear of rejection. We come against that spirit of hurt. And as you breathe in His presence, then I want you just to breathe out and say, Lord, I release this hurt. I release this thing that's caused me grief. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. Loose in the authority of Jesus' name. I command hurt to go in the name of Jesus Christ. I command that spirit of hurt to leave in the authority of Jesus Christ. I command that rejection that's caused hurt. I command rejection to go. Fear of rejection. Self-rejection. Loose, I said, in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Let the anointing break thee, O Lord. I come against anger. I bind the spirit of anger and resentment. I come against hypocrisy. I come against that facade, that veneer, that spirit of facade, Lord, that covers and masks us so nobody knows what we are inside. I rebuke that thing in the authority of Jesus Christ. I loose the people of God now. I loose them into the anointing. I loose them into the presence of Your Spirit. And I pray right now, Lord, surface the anger, surface the violence, surface, Lord, the criticism, surface the self-judgmental spirits. I come against them in the name of Jesus. Loose Your people, Lord. Loose them. Let her go. Let her go. I come against that grief. I come against that broken heart. I come against the depth of grief in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask You, Lord, as these things leave, that there'll be a healing process take place. There'll be the power of God begin to flow into this temple, because we are Your temple and these are Your members, Lord, and You want them well. You want them operative, Lord. You want them to flow. You want the joints to supply one to the other. And Lord, we're asking You, take out all the problems of hell and give us a purification by the Holy Ghost in us today. Oh, in the name of Jesus. 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 Oh, God. Oh, God. Move by Your Spirit. Move by Your Spirit, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. We take authority over stress. Lord, we come against stress in Jesus Christ. We bind the frustration and the stress. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, we can rest in You. You're our rest and we can rest in You. Lord, there is a rest for the people of God, and we'll labor, we'll strive and struggle to reach it. And Lord, we'll stay in it as we abide and walk in the Holy Ghost. So have Your way today. Have Your way today, Lord. Oh, Father, we come against that animosity, the hostility, the enmity, Lord. Enmity, Lord. Husband against wife, wife against husband, Father. I'm asking You to heal it. I'm asking You to heal it, Lord. Oh, God, right now, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I rebuke that spirit of hostility. I rebuke, Lord, that coldness, that, Lord, that can't reaching out to love. Lord, we sense it in the Spirit. Lord, there's some here that can't be loved. They can't receive it. They can't receive it. We're asking You now, bring them into Your love. Let them know what true love is. And Lord, work in their soul, work in their life, so that they can receive love. And when they receive it, they can give it. Oh, Lord, heal that individual. Lord, right now, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, let that person not identify with their mother or father. Lord, there's a spirit of identification. And Father, they see in their wife. They see in their wife the things that they saw in their mother. They identify. Lord, I'm asking You to rebuke that thing. I come against that spirit of identification. I come against it in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm asking You to set that woman free today. Loose her! Loose her in the authority of Jesus Christ. I come against the demon power with the blood and with the authority of Jesus' name. And I rebuke that spirit of identification. Move it out, Lord. Move it out. And Lord, that tight-fisted thing that, Lord, they call it austerity. They call it being prudent. Father, it's not that. They're afraid to spend because they came in poverty. They were raised in poverty. And Lord, You want to free them from it.
Yes, Lord.
But Lord, they can't let go of what they have because they're afraid they'll have nothing. And so I'm asking You to set that person free today. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, open their heart. Take out that thing, Lord. Let them know they can trust You. That, Lord, even though they were raised in poverty and You've blessed them, they're still in poverty. Lord, because they hold it to themselves. And Father, You want them to give it out. You want them to spend it. You want them to be free. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, release that thing. Release that spirit of poverty in that heart today. Release it, Lord. Release them, Father. Release them in the authority of Jesus Christ. Let them know they can trust You. Hallelujah. Let them know they can trust You. Oh, God. Oh, God. Take the Word. Don't let the enemy snatch it away from our understanding. Let the words of the kingdom, Lord, let it be sown on good and honest soil, and help us to produce the fruit that You require of us. Lord, we'll give You the praise and the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.